God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. There comes a time in everyone's life where you look around the room and realize, I'm the adult in the room. Maybe you've been accustomed to being next in line, maybe the son, the daughter, the grandson, the granddaughter, and all of a sudden you realize that those above you are diminishing and those below you are increasing, and it is time for you to stand up and be counted. It is time for you to make decisions. It is time for you to lead. It is time for you to serve. Everyone that's ever done anything came to that point in their life. In the summer of 1940, Winston Churchill was addressing the French. He hoped to be allies with them, and on June 18 of 1940, Paris basically surrendered. Churchill and his general, Hastings Ismay, were driving back to the airfield in France, and Churchill looked very glum indeed. And so Ismay was trying to cheer him up, and he said, "Well, things will get better." To which Churchill replied, "You and I will be dead in 3 months' time." 6 days later, on June 12, Churchill delivered his rousing finest hour speech, with which he roused the British people and the English government to fight the fight of World War II, and eventually they prevailed. It was a moment where he realized, I am the adult in the room. It's a very lonely place to be without an ally, without help, without apparent hope. And that is, it seems, where Moses felt himself to be. He looked around the room and realized, I am the adult in the room. His father-in-law, Jethro, came to visit Moses. Moses was snowed under with the administration of the people of Israel, bringing them out of Egypt, dealing with their needs, dealing with their complaints. And in verse 17, he says to Moses, "The thing that thou dost is not good." He saw Moses sitting alone from morning till evening. Two or three times the Bible says that Moses did this too by himself. His father-in-law said that you're going to wear away. It's too heavy for you. You're trying to do all this alone, which is the key word. And in verse 17, he says, "The thing that thou dost is not good." You know, it is not good to be alone. You will affect other people, and other people will affect you. Here's Moses, first of all, without his wife. Jethro had brought his wife and his two boys back to him. And I don't know how long Moses had been separated from his wife, but apparently in the heady days of bringing Israel out of Egypt, he was alone. You know, sometimes we're alone in a crowd. We're people all around us, but we're alone because we're the only ones that can bear the responsibility that we have. He was without help. You know, it's interesting, in verse 4, he was reunited with his wife and two sons. One of his sons was named Eleazar, which means my help. The God of my father is my help. He delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. The idea is God is our help. You know, in Genesis, the Bible said, "It is not good that man should dwell alone. I'll make a help suitable for him, a help meet for him." We need other people. And Moses really had no other people. In verses 14 and 18, the Bible makes it very clear that all this responsibility, all this pressure, all this weariness was on Moses alone. And this is the point in the story where he not only realizes his responsibility, but he realizes the importance of delegation. He realizes the importance of a team. He realizes the importance of not going it alone. So how do you form a durable team? Maybe you're a parent, maybe you're a child, maybe you're a student, maybe you're a pastor, maybe you're a tradesman, maybe you're, who knows what you are, but maybe you realize that you cannot do it alone. How do you form a durable team? Well, first of all, you need one to guide you. And that is something that Moses had from the get-go. In verse 16, the Bible says, when they have a matter, Moses is talking to his father-in-law, speaking of the Israelites, when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So Moses was humanly responsible, and yet he was not making stuff up. He looked at the law of God. He saw what God's ethic was on matters. And he responded accordingly. So you're not an inventor. You have building blocks, God's statutes. If you have any authority, it's important to remember who the author is. The author of authority is God. He's the one that that is the authority. And so the best leader is simply an ambassador. Back in Exodus chapter 4, God says, I will be with thy mouth. And he speaks of Aaron, and he speaks of the fact that I'll be with thy mouth, he says, and Aaron will be thy spokesman of the people, that is the people of Israel, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. So the bottom line is, Moses was just an ambassador. And friend, if you have an authority, if you have God, if you have an author for the content of your life, you don't have to be a genius, you just have to be an ambassador. You just have to speak forward what God has spoken in. So you need one to guide you. Secondly, you need one to advise you. Ronald Reagan said, it's amazing how much can be accomplished when we don't care who gets the credit. In this case, it happened to be someone who was not overtly an authority over Moses, but someone who gave him advice, and all of us need that. No matter how high you may get on the in the pecking order, you need someone who can give advice, someone who's honorable. In verse 7, the Bible says, and Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance. In other words, he honored his father-in-law. You know, there's nothing worse than asking advice of someone who doesn't have a lick of sense. You know, I remember asking a roommate for one semester, hey, does this match? Does this match? Every morning I'd ask, is what I'm wearing, does it match? And I found out later he was colorblind. You know, that's kind of pointless. Or maybe you know someone that's nose blind. Well, there's some things they cannot help you with. So you need someone that's honorable to advise you. You need someone to be informed and to inform. Verse 8 of Exodus 18 says, and Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done, and he basically brings him up to speed. And then Jethro rejoiced, his father-in-law rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel. So you need someone who will be informed and who can then inform you. Ultimately, you need someone who acknowledges God. Verse 11, now I know, Jethro says, that the Lord is greater than all gods, based on what God had done. So you don't need someone that's going to flatter you. And you don't need a pessimist. You need someone who acknowledges God. You know, that's why it's often wise to ask advice from those who are older. You know, a mom has been a daughter. A daughter has never been a mom. Not in the role as a daughter. You're either a daughter or a mom. I mean, you may be both. But the point is, a parent has been a child. A child has not yet been a parent. So Moses needed advice. And finally, you need someone who will join you. In verses 21 through 23, Moses chooses out of all the people, able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers. In other words, these are men that can help you help the people of Israel. They were to be able, God-fearing, honest, and single-minded, not in it for the money. If you look at Acts chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus, you find over and again the qualifications for those of leadership in the church. I remember years ago learning what was called the effective speaker principles. And the first one was, an effective speaker is one whose character, knowledge, and judgment command respect. So first of all, do they have character? If they don't have character, it doesn't matter how able they are. They cannot be someone who can join me and someone that can help me. Do they have knowledge? There may be someone with great character, but they don't have any ability. Well, then you're somewhat limited. Character, knowledge, and judgment. Here's a guy that can shoot the eye off of a gnat at 100 paces, but doesn't have a lick of sense to know when to pull the trigger. So he may have character, he may have knowledge, but he needs judgment to know how to use what he has. And so what we need is someone to guide, someone to advise, and someone to join. And the person that joins us should be someone who can help us go where God would have us to go. So do you need one of these? Do you need to be one of these? It is not good to be alone, but if we'll look, we can find someone to guide, that is God, someone to advise, and someone to join us in the journey that God would have for us.